Sportsnet 650.
It's a road game day for the Vancouver Canucks in Calgary. We're an hour away from puck drop, and this is the Dutch pregame show presented by Image Optometry. Come score your own hat trick at the Dutch with breakfast, brunch, and lunch. There's something for everyone to get excited about. The Dutch, so much gooder. It's Andrew Walker. It is Scott Rintoul, and we'll get right into it as we have a special guest in the pregame show today. He is Canucks owner Francesco Aquilini, and it's wonderful to have you in the studio. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. New station, and we're happy to kind of, you know, christen our pregame show and our program as well with you joining us in studio. How about your hockey team right now? Nice little start to the season. I guess somewhat unexpected in some ways, but they're playing okay.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, the first 15 games is, I think it surprised a lot of people around the league. I think we've got a lot of attention. People didn't think that, you know, we would win as many games as we did. So I think it's pretty exciting. I think it's fun to watch.
I think a lot of people would classify the Canucks as a pleasant surprise. Are you surprised whatsoever? Did you expect something like this?
Well, I mean, we had a lot of young players, and, you know, you just don't know how they're going to turn out. But I think that, you know, it's been a pleasant surprise. Absolutely. I think with some of these guys, it's been really good.
There's part of it that you go into the season and you have your best case scenario and your worst case scenario and some fears and you almost brace it. I know we did, you know, starting the show as well. You really want the team to get off to a good start. It makes just the air, you know, smell better and the food taste better, because if things do go south, you want it to hold off as long as possible. Was there some nervous moments this off season for you, just waiting to see what would transpire?
You know, I think, you know, how the year ended last year wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Jim's made some additions to the team that really made a difference. You know, signing the defensemen and some forwards and, you know, add a lot of depth. And then with the young guys coming in and filling the gaps, I think once all that happened, you know, and plus we had a lot of injuries last year. So that made a difference. So, but I think I was pretty happy with how things were going, you know, with the signings. I think it was pretty good.
He is Canucks owner Francesco Aquilini joining us here on the Dutch pregame show brought to you by Image Optometry. I do want to get back into hockey in a second. We got lots of hockey to talk. But before the game today, this is a very important day for the Canucks organization. This is Live to Give Day. So the entire organization basically shuts down the office and you guys go out into the community. Give us an idea of what this day is about for you and for your organization.
Well, you know, giving back to the community is what we're really all about. And, you know, we have about 150 staff, and they go all across, you know, Vancouver and Burnaby and Surrey. And, you know, they help whatever they can. And so, like, in Canucks Place, you know, we went there today. We set up the Christmas lights. You know, it's quite elaborate. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, you know, I think there's 20 or 30 volunteers there working the whole day, setting up these lights. You know, it's about who we are. I mean, that's what the Canucks do is that we give back. And this is really important. This Live to Give Day is one of the premier days of the year for our staff. And mm-hmm. I'm very proud of them. I mean, we give, I think it was 8,500 hours of volunteer work since it started mm-hmm. about 11 years ago.
Pretty impressive. And you were telling me some other impressive numbers. You were down at the food bank today.
That's right. I was at the food bank, and so they feed 27,000 families every day. And I mean, that's quite remarkable what they do down there. It's so I encourage everybody to donate. I mean, what they do there is incredible. I mean, they have a staff of 50 people. That's all they do. They just get food to people who need it, and families and kids. And so, no, I think it's a wonderful cause.
No, you guys have been doing a lot of stuff. We were at the Sports Celebrity Festival last week. I know it was your first exposure, Andrew, and you saw the scope of that event and the Canucks involvement there as well, and really special tie between the Canucks and the community.
Yeah,
It has been something that's important to you, whether it was Live to Give Day for 11 years, like you said, or, you know, the telethon that you guys raised so much money with a year ago. What's next for you, do you think, in that area?
For you, you talk about charities?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... you know, we support a number of charities. You know, we give Children's Hospital. There's a CAN, which is Canuck Autism Network, which is headed by my brother. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing phenomenal work there. I mean, he's helping so many families, you know, across the province. You know, there's I mean, there's actually a board that kind of is involved with that. And my particular project that I'm involved in is the Boys Club in East Vancouver, where, you know, these are kids that are at risk. They're teenagers. You know, there's two guys that have the program, Jimmy Crescenzo, and he brings these kids in, and we have this program called Lessons in the Locker Room, where we bring him into the dressing room. He brings speakers in, and they provide mentorship. And, you know, because these kids, you know, they really don't have any opportunity. I mean, they all they see is the negative side, you know, drug dealers, gangsters. And so by, you know, bringing people in to talk about, you know, success and hard work and discipline and, you know, commitment and all these things that we talk to the players about, you know, they hear about that. And I think it's really making a difference. And I'm very proud that I'm involved with that program.
He is the Canucks owner, Francesco Aquilini, joining us here on the pregame show brought to you by DeDutch and Image Optometry. You mentioned East Vancouver. You grew up in East Vancouver. And long before you were the owner of the Vancouver Canucks, you were a fan of the Vancouver Canucks. Do you watch the game as a fan? And if so, what's that experience like relative to being the owner of this team?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, ever since day one, I mean, I grew up two blocks away from the Coliseum. And, you know, I would go to the games whenever I could. And I've been a fan, like, ever since I can remember. And, like, almost nothing's really changed. I mean, you know, when you're watching the game and the puck drops, I mean, it's just whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And, you know, you always want your team to win, and then, you know, you're sad when it doesn't win and you're happy. So the peaks and valleys get a little bit higher for an owner.
I imagine they do.
Yeah.
And before you owned it, other people, when you were the fan and you didn't own this team, did you ever, you know, say, ah, I can't believe the owner's doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do that? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I was a big critic as well. So I can understand those people who criticize me.
What was it difficult to make, because part of your life doesn't change. You still have your friends and family. You become the owner of the team. Mm-hmm. Was it a challenge to separate? Because you probably still had those people saying, you know, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And all of a sudden, you're that guy.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, my friends are pretty respectful because they know they don't try to tell me what to do. There's already enough people doing that. But, you know, there's always going to be, you know, people having ideas. And I mean, this team is really a community asset. I mean, that's what it really is. And, you know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants this team to succeed. And, you know, all you can do as an owner is put the right people in place and, you know, let them manage it and see how it unfolds. You know, that's what the exciting part about it is, to seeing how this whole thing's going to unfold.
Well, you're right. Everybody has an opinion. Walker's learning that. I think he's probably under more scrutiny from the Canucks fan base right now than you are, to be quite honest, with some of the statements he's made.
For you. Yeah, yeah.
The two most common criticisms, I'm sure you've heard them, so we're going to address them. Mm-hmm. Over the past few years, the two most common criticisms, number one has been the owner's meddle with hockey decisions with the Vancouver Canucks. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, you know, people always have an opinion. You know, if you look at Jerry Jones, I mean, he is actually the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, if you look on the website, I mean, I'm not going that far. We have a general manager. His name is Jim Benning. And, I mean, you know, given what's happened his last 15 games, I mean, you know, he's, I mean, you got to be pleased because, you know, we beat the two-time Stanley Cup champions. We beat Washington. I mean, if this group continues to, you know, perform and work hard the way they do, you know, I'm very pleased, you know. And, but listen, Jim makes all the decisions. The general manager, I mean, you know, he has 15 scouts at his disposal. He talks to the coaches every day. This is what he does 8 hours a day, or sometimes, you know, 10 hours a day. And he travel, and so he's the experts. He's the expert. So you have to go with the expert.
So when it comes to Jim Benning and Trevor Linden, when you sit down with them at the beginning of the season, what type of directive do you give them?
Well, the thing is, you know, what I tell them is, look, I want to see continuous improvement. There always has to be, we have to be a little bit better, you know, today than we were yesterday. And that goes the same for, you know, all our organizations. We have a number of different businesses, and it's the same for everybody. And we sit down with our key people, we tell them that, you know, we want improvement. And how that comes, you know, it comes by working hard, commitment. And the second thing is that, you know, we tell them we want a competitive team that works hard in the ice. That's all we can ask for. We can't control the results. We want a group of guys that work hard. And, you know, we want, as ownership, we want to see these young players develop. We want these, you know, the team to evolve and, you know, bring in, you know, young players, and they can learn and develop and get better. And over time, I mean, that's how, you know, championship, you know, Stanley Cup championships teams are developed over time, with young players developing. And so that's what we tell, you know, Jim and Trevor.
With continued improvement, there's a faction of people, I wouldn't even say I'm one of them, but there's a faction of people that's saying you can't achieve that ultimate greatness until you take a step to not improve, right, to really bottom out. Do you think the Canucks are through that? Like, the challenges of the last 2 years, would you say, like, listen, that's as bad, that's as low as we ever want to be as an organization, or is there still an eye of kind of intellectual honesty of how this season goes, and a thought of bottoming out again?
Well, I mean, that's always a possibility. It's not something we want to do. I mean, with the way the lottery system works now in the draft, you know, just because you finish last doesn't mean you're going to be guaranteed, you know, high pick. Just like, you know, Philadelphia finished 14th and they ended up with second overall. So, you know, by finishing last doesn't help you. I mean, not in today's world, maybe a few years ago where you can, you know, draft, you know, key, you know, marquee players, but today that doesn't work anymore. So, I mean, I think the direction that you know, Jim is taking the team, which is, you know, developing young players and then having some veterans there to teach them and bring them along, because, you know, I think that, you know, you just can't throw an 18-year-old kid and 19, 20 years old and have him compete in the NHL. I mean, there are some players that do that, but for the most part, they need to learn, and, you know, and I think they learn from the older players. I think that, you know, they teach them about professionalism, working hard, discipline. I mean, you know, this is the, you know, the best league in the world, and you have the best players, and, you know, you're getting the creme de la creme, and, you know, somebody that's really young needs to learn that.
So with respect to Jim Benning, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's in his last year of his contract. Has a decision been made yet on whether or not to extend that?
Well, I mean, with Jim, I mean, like, those contract talks are private, and, so, I mean, it's not something I want to discuss here, but as soon as we have something, you guys are going to be the first to know. You know, so I think that, you know, Jim is, you know, from what he's accomplished in his last 15 games, I think it's something, it's pretty exciting. I mean, I think that, you know, the games have been very entertaining. I think the games have been entertaining, been fun to watch as a fan. I mean, every game this year has been competitive. I mean, we haven't, you know, like last night, you know, we didn't like the result, but I thought we fought back and we tied the game, and these guys have a lot of fight in them. And I think, you know, with Travis and Jim and Trevor together, I think they're a good group.
You mentioned continuous improvement. Do you have an idea in your head what a successful season looks like for this team?
A successful season is, you know, looking at the end of the year and looking, you know, how our young players develop, whether they take that next step. I think that's really critical, and there's a good group, and there's a lot of players coming as well. I mean, I think, you know, even, you know, I heard that, you know, Pettersson scored yesterday. You know, Cole Lynn is coming along. I heard some great things about him. So everywhere within our organization, you know, we just want to see these kids take the next step. That's really what it's about.
With the Benning thing, not to read between the lines too much, but it would sound to me like there is a goal in mind for Jim Benning to be extended, and you almost have to reach that goal. Now, with continuous improvement, or we need the young players to develop, maybe it's tough to put, you know, exact figures or numbers on that, but I would think if you are a fan screaming at Jim Benning to, hey, finish 28th, 29th, it sounds like that wouldn't help his job status if that's what the case would be.
Well, I mean, you know, Jim is, first of all, he took over, you know, he had a tough job. I mean, the last couple of years have been difficult. You know, there's been a lot of injuries. I mean, I think you know, the injury plays a factor in the win-loss column, because, you know, I think you just can't put somebody in there. It's difficult. You know, I think for now, I mean, in this conversation with you, is that, you know, I'm pleased with how Jim is performed. I think it's I mean, his last 15 games have been pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't complain with the direction of the team. And I think Travis has done a good job. So I'm optimistic we're going to, you know, come to an agreement with them.
Francesco Aquilini, the Vancouver Canucks owner, joins us on the Dutch pregame show presented by Image Optometry. It's Andrew Walker. It's Scott Rintoul. Meddling. That I hate that word because I always think, too, every owner is going to have a different level of involvement, and it's the owner's team. It's your money. Of course, I would have a certain level of involvement, right? So I was talking to a media friend the other day, and he had a conversation with the general manager that said, I have complete autonomy, sort of. There's a select few guys on the team that I just know, like it's literally written into the contract. I can't trade them. I can't move them. I have to talk first with the owner, Mr. whomever it would be. Does that still exist here with this team, with you? Are there certain guys that, like, hey, listen, they're part, and maybe it's the Sedins, I don't know, they are part of this, and it has to go through me. Is there that level of involvement?
Well, I mean, like I was saying, you know, the general manager is the expert, and, you know, he makes the decision. He's responsible. At the end of the day, the general manager is responsible for this team. And so you hold him accountable. And so, you know, to say that the owner's mentally, sure, we discuss it. I mean, we talk all the time. And, you know, before he goes and signs a, you know, $100 million contract, he's got to get that approved, right? Of course. I mean, because it's at the end of the day, it's still a business. But, you know, I mean, as long as you have confidence in your general manager, which we do, you know, you go with the experts. And it's always been that way since day one, right? Ever since day one. So, you know, at this point, you know, like we feel that the experts, I mean, everybody has a role to play in this organization, just like a player's. And so, you know, the owners own, the managers manage, the coaches coach, and the players play. And, you know, that's the hallmark of our organization is that, you know, people have to do their jobs. And if you don't think they're doing their job, then you replace them. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, but if you go and you start telling people what to do and then hold them accountable, they're going to say, well, you know, you're telling me what to do, so I'm not accountable for this. So we work on the premise of accountability. That's how we work as an organization. And I think, you know, Jim likes it, Trevor likes it, everybody likes that because they're held accountable, just like the players are.
Now, I mentioned there were two common criticisms that we've heard in themes, and I'm sure you've heard them too. So the other one is Canucks ownership cares more about making money than it does about winning, and it doesn't want to rebuild properly. What would you say to fans who have that criticism?
Well, listen, you know, the thing is, this is a business, but at the end of the day, this is a hockey team first. This is a hockey team that has to be developed. I mean, you know, there's no shortcuts. There's absolutely no shortcuts. And, you know, it's up to Jim to you know, put together a team, a competitive team, the best he can. And it's our job as owners, with me and my brothers, that we provide all the resources for Jim to say, Jim, you got everything you need. Here it is. And now please put together a competitive team. However that comes about, that's really his job. And, you know, I could tell, you know, other owners in the league, in the NHL, are all the same. That's what they do. They say, listen, they go to their managers and say, look, we want you to put a competitive team together. And if the manager's in alignment with the owners, then everything's great. But if you're not in alignment, then, of course, that's not going to work.
And as you mentioned, you run the business as well. And the business is part of it on the ice, but part of it's Rogers Arena and the experience there. When fans go to your games, what fan experience do you want them to walk away having had?
Right. At the end of the day, you know, we want our fans to have fun. I mean, if they're not having fun at the games, there's no point. And we're there to entertain the fans. And, you know, we want to provide them a good experience. You know, the minute they enter the door, you know, the minute they, you know, give their ticket and when they buy their beer or whatever they do, we want everything to be great. I mean, that's the whole point from the beginning to the end. And, you know, we want our team to be competitive. We want, you know, you can't win every game, but I think if we have a team that works hard, I think fans will like that. I think that's what all the fans want. They want to see a team that works hard, that competes, and that cares. And I think Travis has brought that. I think Travis is, with these players, this group of players, they really care. And, you know, listen, it's the bounces, things happen, penalties, injury. There's all sorts of – that's the great thing about this sport is that there's just so many factors and it just all moves so fast. And it's just like how it ends up, it's like, wow, like you don't know how it's going to end up. And that's what people come to see.
Do you have would you say you have an idea in mind of what you would like Daniel and Henrik Sedin's role to be in the organization after this year?
Well, you know, I think you're talking about a contract extension.
It could be anything. It could be an extension. It could be a new, cheaper deal. It could be ambassadors. I don't know. Do you have an idea? I'm sure you think of stuff.
You know, again, you know, that's a decision that Henrik and Daniel make in consultation with Jim and Trevor. I mean, they'll have to decide that. You know, what the roster will look like next year. I mean,
it's a unique case, though.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Yeah. I mean, listen. You know, Daniel and Henrik are. They're amazing people. I mean, I've got to know them over the years. They're incredible. I mean, they're people you want your daughter to marry. I mean, they're just, you know, first class. And they've been an outstanding, you know, Canuck citizens for the last, you know, 15, 17 years. And they're just, I just can't say enough good things about them. You know, they're just unbelievable.
If they're playing Days Are Done, would there be a role in the organization?
You know, I you know, sitting here, I don't know that. I think, you know, Trevor would have to, you know, look at that because that's his area of responsibility. And it's not something we've talked about because I think they want to succeed this year. I think the, you know, Daniel and Henrik want to have a, you know, want to have a great year. I don't think they're talking about retirement.
I want to ask you about a couple other things that relate to the business of hockey and maybe something else. We all know it'd be great to have a true geographical rival right down the I-5 in Seattle. From what you know, what are the chances of that happening in the next few years?
I think that the chances are pretty high. You know, they're working on getting an arena built. There's a couple of groups that are working hard. There's the Key Arena renovation, and then there's the site downtown next to the baseball stadium. And so they're competing. And I think there's a desire, strong desire in the league part to have a 16th team in the West. And for us, it'd be great because we'd have that rivalry. You know, there'd be fans going up and down the I-5. And I think that, you know, the Seattle market is not really developed. It's not a hockey market. But I think if a team got there, I think it'll be fantastic. You'll have, like, you know, fans coming from Seattle coming to Vancouver and vice versa. So I think it'll make the pie bigger. It'll make the market bigger. So I'm in total support of a team in Seattle. I think it would be fantastic.
The last one's about other sports. There's been rumors that you're interested in buying the Lions. And there's always the possibility, people speculate about the NBA coming back here. Can you address both of those? Do you have interest in the Lions, and might the NBA be back here someday?
Well, listen, you know, we own a sports team in Vancouver, and, you know, we're always interested in looking at other sports teams. We had some conversations with David Braley, but it's not going to go any further than that at this point. You know, other sports team, again, I mean, if that opportunity came up, you know, that made sense, we would look at a rugby team. As for an NBA team, listen, I like basketball. I like watching basketball. I mean, it's not something we're pursuing, but if the opportunity came up and presented itself, we would definitely be interested. You know, we have the building. It's plug and play. It's ready to go. You know, we still have the dressing rooms they have the doors that are 9 feet high for the players. You know, we still have that. And I mean, the fact is that the NBA is not expanding any franchises, you know, anytime soon, and you would have to move a team. You have to buy a team and move it, which is complicated, and you have to get league approval. And so, I mean, it's a very complicated process, and, you know, all the stars would have to line up for that to happen.
You know? It's a pleasure to have you in. I hope we can do it again. And all the best with Live to Give Day for the Canucks organization, annual thing, like you said, and so many man hours and so much money raised. It's great. Congratulations to that, and thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. It was great. It was a pleasure being here.
Thanks, and an exciting start to the season as well. We'll be watching. Enjoy the game tonight.
Sportsnet 650.